Again, there's been several more plane crashes, one in Alaska and one in Arizona. So we do want to keep the families that have lost loved ones in our prayers. And this is an opportunity for them to turn to God and hopefully submit to His will, as we would want that for everyone, would we not? Well, our study for the last 4 weeks now has been concerning the third person of the Godhead, who is a personality in the Godhead with all the divine characteristics of God the Father and God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've studied the work of the Holy Spirit and using the Word of God and penetrating our hearts. The instrument, yes, is the Word of God. And we noted the fact that Christians dwell in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how all three members of the Godhead dwell in Christians, that being through the Word of God. Last Lord's Day, we began a study concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures. We noted Christ was the administrator of the Holy Spirit baptism, John 1:33 and Luke 24:49, with other verses we noted as well. And then we discussed the Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded of anyone, but it was promised only to select ones. And that being, of course, the apostles of Christ, as we noted, the 12 plus Paul. And then, of course, with Cornelius's household, they received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were immersed with power, enabling them to speak in languages that they had never studied. The purpose was to show the Christians that were formerly Jews that Gentiles are open for salvation. God is no respecter of persons. And then we discussed, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit the apostles received equipped them for the great work which Christ had given them to accomplish. So we began to discuss the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, it was to show that they were with authority from Christ, to be witnesses of Christ, to make them ambassadors of Christ. Now we're speaking of the apostles. To guide them into all truth, to show them things to come, to cause them to remember all that Jesus taught them, and to confirm the gospel of Christ which they preached and taught was the truth from God, and to give the apostles full and complete inspiration. And of course, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14 certainly deals with that. We asked the question, did Cornelius and his household or anyone else beside the apostles have all these powers that we've just mentioned? The honest answer, of course, is no. And we noted the Holy Spirit is a person, and one cannot literally be immersed into a person. The one baptism today is the baptism of the Great Commission. As we noted Ephesians 4:4, one baptism. It's not the baptism of John, the forerunner to Christ, that ended at the cross and the purchase of the church with the blood of Christ. And the entrance into the church is through the Great Commission baptism, to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the passage, Matthew 28:18 through 20. And so we're ready to pick back up this morning with more on the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And the initials PFE helps us to remember this is what I need to be doing every day. And we hope that you will feel the same. Now, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern that God has given us, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study together, we'll sit down and open up God's Word and study from it what we must do to become a Christian and how we're to continue to live as a Christian, and about the true church of the Bible and so forth. We look forward to having that opportunity at your convenience. And if you have questions, Bible questions, you can send those to us, or if you have comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Excuse me. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So if you missed one of the sermons on the Holy Spirit, it will be there on our website address. So you'll find it there. Well, let's get back to our study this morning concerning the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism. Or you could say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this would be about number 9, I think. And that is to enable the apostles to impart spiritual, miraculous gifts to other Christians. Now, we've mentioned this in our study, but we want to show from the Scriptures that this was the case for only the apostles. They were the only ones that had the ability to pass on the 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we go to Acts chapter 8, this is a good place to study in this regard. After Philip had preached the gospel to the Samaritans, and many of them had become Christians, it was now necessary for one of the apostles to be present before they could receive any of the spiritual, supernatural gifts. And thus, Peter and John, 2 apostles, went down and laid hands on those that had obeyed the gospel. And some of the gifts were, of course, imparted. So this is Acts chapter 8. Let's begin with verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, well, that's the church, isn't it? That's a blow to premillennialists. They say the kingdom is yet to come. Well, it's already there in Acts chapter 8 in existence when Philip was preaching there in Samaria. He was preaching, of course, concerning the church of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. Notice, and the name of Jesus Christ. Though by his authority they were baptized, both men and women that obeyed the gospel. That is, in verse 12. Now, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed. He was the sorcerer. He had fooled the people. He was a trickster, bewitching the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was someone great. Well, they were giving heed to this man as if he had the great power of God. In other words, he was fooling them. So you see, he himself obeys the gospel. And we want to note that. Now, and so when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So Philip was able to do some signs here because he had had the hands laid upon him by an apostle. because you see, he wasn't able to lay on hands. As we go further, we'll see that he could not pass on the miraculous gifts himself. That had to be done by the apostles. Now note, verse 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit baptism, did they? No, they sent unto them Peter and John for the purpose of passing on gifts of the Holy Spirit, not the baptism, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down in altitude, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, did we note that? Of course, the name here is authority, by the authority of Christ. Then they laid their hands, who? Peter and John, laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. The King James has Holy Ghost, but again, we're using the term Spirit, which is accurate. Ghost in the days of 1611 meant guest. Doesn't mean that today, though. So notice, they receive power. Yes, the gift of God is referred to. As we go on, we'll see this. You'll note that, again, Philip could not impart these spiritual gifts, nor could Simon obtain the ability to pass on gifts. As we'll note, that's what he wanted to do. And when Simon saw, this is verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, that is power from the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he offered them money. Notice, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, notice that, hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. And then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So we see here, of course, the second law of pardon. He was already baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. He was a member of the Lord's church. But no, not very long afterwards, his obedience to the gospel, what did he do? He fell away. He wanted to buy the gift of God, which was the ability to lay on hands and pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Only the apostles could do that, and they received that by the promise of Christ. And so you see, he needed to be restored, and he was told to repent, and of course to pray for forgiveness and have others pray for him as he requested is certainly the right thing to do. So this again is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to enable the apostles to impart spiritual miraculous gifts to other Christians in the first century. Now after they died, then, of course, there was no more passing on of gifts. The full revelation of God came forth. That which is in part was done away, these miraculous gifts. The perfect revelation of God came forth. So let's now go to Acts 19, and we'll see another occasion when Paul had laid hands upon those here in Ephesus. Or we'll see here, and this is Acts 19, we notice that, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." Well, that told Paul something's wrong here. You see, he's talking about receiving one of the gifts by the laying on of his hands. Well, we know that to be the case as we continue on. We'll see that. Note, verse 4. And he said, well, verse 3. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" After he, of course, knew something was wrong. And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Now, this is a problem. Why? John's baptism was for the remission of sins, but it was before the cross. Now, this is after the cross, after Jesus died and was resurrected and went back to heaven, and the church was already established in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem. And here we are in Acts 19, some years later. You see, this is the problem with their baptism. It's no longer valid. Remember, there's one baptism of the great, that being the Great Commission we noted in Ephesians 4:4. Here's the proof. You see, they needed to be baptized scripturally. So if our baptism is not in accordance to the scriptures of the New Testament, starting with, of course, Acts 2 and going forth, then what should we do? We should do what's right and obey the gospel in a correct manner in being baptized into Christ, of course, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we see now, as we continue, Paul, as he notes in verse 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance," yes, "saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see what they did? They weren't right. They needed to make it right in the eyes of God. And thus they learned about the gospel of Christ and thus submitted to the gospel of Christ. As you see, they were baptized by his authority. And note, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So what had happened? They had received miraculous gifts. Yes, one of them was prophecy. One of them was speaking in languages that they'd never studied. And thus, this would enable them, of course, in helping them to grow, as they didn't have the complete revelation of God as we do today. They needed these miraculous gifts. And so we need to see here that the Holy Spirit enabled them to do these things. His power. So this was again the purpose for the apostles to lay on hands and pass on these special miraculous gifts needed in the first century. Then they are certainly a gift of God, are they not? These spiritual gifts. I want to point out in Romans 1:11, it was necessary for Paul to be personally in Rome in order to impart to those Christians there, certain Christians, some spiritual gift. This is Romans 1:11. So if this could be imparted by any who had a spiritual gift, why did Paul say he had to be there before it could be imparted to them? Are we seeing this? We need to open our minds to what the Word of God says, regardless of what someone has told us, because they may be sincere, but they may very well be wrong. and we need to be right in accordance to the will of God as we are striving to do His will in accordance to the Word of God. So we need to know for ourselves. 2 Timothy 1:6 shows that Timothy received his spiritual gift through the laying on of the Apostle Paul's hands. Yes. So if anyone today has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he could lay on hands on another and confer a spiritual gift to him. If not, why not? But the point is, no one today has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do they? No, we should answer, because the Scriptures tell us the apostles received it. Cornelius and his household received a measure of the Holy Spirit's power. They weren't able to lay on hands. They didn't have all those qualities that the apostles had, as we went over. So the Holy Spirit gave the apostles full inspiration to receive, communicate, confirm, and record God's revelation. As they wrote, Paul, as he wrote how many different letters to the churches and also individuals, John, of course, Peter, Jude, James, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all these inspired writers, they were writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about the apostles right now. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So, Matthew 19:28, and we can see, of course, that they were inspired to communicate, confirm, and record God's revelation. Now again, Mark and Luke, James and Jude, and of course John was an apostle. Matthew was an apostle. But Paul was an apostle. But we note that. But Mark and Luke and James and Jude were not apostles, but they were inspired men. So I want to emphasize that. So the guide, the Holy Spirit, is enabling the apostles to defend the faith before rulers and powerful enemies. So the Holy Spirit, another purpose is to guide these apostles that we're talking about in defending the faith before rulers and powerful enemies. Look at Mark 13:11. "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that shall ye, that speak ye." Note, "for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." Did we note that? Now that's not being done today. We speak by the inspired Word of God if we're staying with the Scriptures, yes, but we're not guided by the Holy Spirit outside the Word of God. You see, if we're not staying with the Word of God, we're certainly not speaking for God. But they were. "For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." Now note that. Luke, all of us, I'm speaking to myself. Luke 21:14-15, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." You see that? That's the apostles with that ability. The Jewish religious leaders were surprised to learn that Peter and John, whom they perceived as ignorant and unlearned men, in Acts 4:13, they were willing and able to speak so boldly and clearly to them. They were surprised that Peter and John could do this. Yes, they considered them ignorant and unlearned, but they were men moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, miraculously. Now, that's not going on today because we have the full revelation of God. It's not needed today. Paul was able to speak with boldness and power before Roman governors and kings. Yes, as he appealed to Caesar. We don't have the recording of when he spoke before Caesar. But note, again, while other inspired men who were not apostles were able to do similar things, you can see Stephen in Acts 6 and 7, it was the apostles who possessed the primary power and ability to do this before these rulers. And of course, they were the only ones who could lay on hands and pass on the spiritual gifts. That's what we need to appreciate with our study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People today may claim to have it. They could never prove it. No, and they're going against the Word of God. And we all should be able to see that if we stay with the Scriptures. All that we can know about the Holy Spirit must come from the Holy Bible. That's right. True biblical faith can only come from the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That's what we must accept to be right before God. Do we appreciate the work of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit? Have we accepted what the Scriptures teach concerning Holy Spirit baptism? Have we been baptized into the death of Christ to contact His precious blood, which is the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5? If not, we stand ready to assist you and study further to show examples of conversions in the book of Acts. What did they do in order to become a Christian? Yes, a Christian only, and to submit to the will of God. We'll study from the book of Acts these conversions. And now, let's go over what does the Bible say I must do to become a Christian. As we just noted, Romans 10:17, we must have faith come from hearing the Word of God. So we then believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's obvious. The evidence is there, and we should accept it. And believing Jesus is the Christ, He died for my sins, I'm motivated now to repent, to change my will and accept the will of God, regardless of what I've been taught before. Luke 13:3-5. Now, having repented of my sins, getting out of a sinful situation, I'm ready to confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, as we see in Romans 10:9-10. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch did so before he was baptized. Baptism. Here's what puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ. As we note, Jesus shed His blood in His death, and that's when we contact Him in that watery grave, as it washes away our sins, His blood does. And we thank You so much for listening today.